1480 KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Randy Grimes. It is a beautiful day to be alive in South Dakota. Fishing season is well on its way here, and we can go anywhere from all spectrums of the rainbow here to good things happening in fishing, where we have the Minnesota opener, we had the first week of South Dakota Walleye League. We can roll all the way to the other end where they're just shutting lakes down in South Dakota. So, you know, sometimes you just got to bring our guest, Neil Jensen, in here to provide some opinions on his side of the story when it comes to these issues. And, you know, anyone else out there that would like to talk about closing lakes and talk about private property rights, because I kind of like private property rights too. So, you know, we can do those all here at 1480 a.m. on a Thursday morning. Well, Neil, let's start it off with something positive. Walleye League. Oh, Walleye League. Did they catch any fish on Monday night?
I didn't get to fish, but why? I guess it sounded like they did.
Did your teammates get to fish?
No.
Oh, so you guys got a zero.
No, we took our mulligan. We figured we'd get that out of the way right away this year.
Say, you know, that is not a bad idea to use your mulligan on the first lake of the year. You know, out of five lakes, you got to get that used up anyway, don't you?
You have to, and you might as well take
take your licking real early. I think we may have lost Neil. It seemed like we were just jumping in and out there a little bit at
the
end.
Are we there?
Oh, yeah, now we are. Would you go into the other part of the room?
No, I think I set you on mute.
Oh, mute would be good. There's be a lot of people out there that think mute would be good for Lynn Jurens.
The problem is I could still hear you. I just couldn't talk back to you, which is a little annoying.
That would be really bad, wouldn't it? You'd have to listen to Lynn Jurens, but you couldn't say anything. Oh, fantastic. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in the fishing world. We could get into controversy, or, you know, and we could leave that topic till the end, and then if we run out of time, we don't even have to talk about it. But, you know, a lot of people are interested in that. And, Neil, back to league, you know, there were a lot of people that needed their mulligan, though, so you're kind of right in this thing yet with four lakes to go.
Yeah, but it sounded like some big fish were caught.
There was one big fish caught. What a beauty it was. I believe they measured it. The Peterson brothers, and I forget I'm not sure which person in the boat caught it. Maybe they consider it a team catch. But the Peterson boys spent a lot of time live baiting on this lake since they were really young. Very good fishermen. They came in with one fish for 8.7 pounds. And this time of the year, you catch an 8.7 pounder. That's a nice fish because it's just recently spawned out, hasn't had time to put what they call the feed bag on or put some weight on yet. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe they measured it at 29 1/4 inches caught out of Lake Compesca.
Ooh, that was close to 10-pound fish 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I would gather that too, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. That's amazing. Between the stress and the exit dumped, that was a big fish.
Yeah, and that thing's still swimming in Lake Compesca. Those fine young men, and a lot of the fish that were caught on Monday night are swimming again. So that's a good part. It's for those, you know, those persons in our community and around the country that have a little negativity towards tournaments or league fishing. You know, this is a positive part of it. We can talk about how they were being caught. We know a lot more because we had a lot of lines in the water. We can tell you that Lake Compesca is a tough bite right now for fish over 15 inches. I don't remember counting them up, but I think maybe out of the 34 teams that fished, I would guess that half of them caught fish. Maybe 20 teams caught fish. And a lot of that was just one that was over 15 inches. What was that, Neil?
Huh. Is that a fact? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I guess I haven't looked at the results.
It was a very, very, very tough bite. And it has been, I guess. Every once in a while, you'll go out there, catch two or three. But you know what? That's good. And there is no size limit on Compesca. So, you know, if a person wants to catch a 14 and a half inch fish and it put one in the frying pan, that's the right size. And the lake is very clean. The water was clean. It's a fantastic fishery. And there's a lot of action out there right now. Sunday afternoon of Mother's Day, we jump in the boat about 3:30, and we had nonstop action with crappies and little northerns. And you combine that with all we didn't with the kids and my wife in the boat, we didn't catch any walleyes because we hadn't really focused on that. And we had a blast. So Compesca is what I would call a great fishery right now. With that chance to catch a 20-pound northern or an 8.5-pound walleye. So, you know, there's a lot of bright spots in it. I mean, all night long, you know, I had a partner that was supposed to be responsible for the bait. And I said, grab some leeches and some minnows, a bunch of minnows. And, Neil, have you ever had a partner that shows up with a dozen minnows?
I would live for the day I have a partner who doesn't show up with only a dozen minnows.
So we gave him a hard time. We went through that dozen minnows, you know, and luckily it was a scoop and not just one dozen because we went through that in the first hour. And it was entertaining. You know, we went to some plastics, but with the tough bite, I think I caught one fish on a plastic. Normally... and I'm sure I could have, you know, dialed that in a little bit more, but they were biting on minnows so fast that I just kept the minnows on. And anyway, very, 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 very entertaining. Lots of fish. Guess what? I caught the most beautiful fish in the world, Neil.
A bullhead.
The biggest, brightest, beautiful yellow-bellied bullhead I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, and I talked to Bob Lee and Willard Mark Stottom, and they caught one big bugger like that too. So everything's on the bite right now out there. I mean, you don't know what you're gonna catch. We had silver bass, northerns, crappies, bullheads, and even caught a couple walleyes over 15 inches. So you know, good night. The weather held off after lightning at 5 o'clock and 4:30, 5 o'clock. And it was, you know, it was really, really good opening night for the Glacial Lakes Walleye League. And have to really thank the two new guys that are running this, Brad Jensen and Jay Johnson. Not an easy thing. I think they may now, maybe they're not surprised, but they may know now how much work Casey Baumgarn put into putting this league together and running this thing the last 3 years. Shout out to the National Guardsman Casey Baumgarn for all the efforts of getting this thing rolling. And now it's everyone else's job who likes to fish and be around a lot of good fishermen and chat fishing to keep this thing rolling, Neil.
And you and I. Good fishermen, Lynn, and you and I.
We're on the end of the list.
unfortunately, we're at the bottom sometimes, but it doesn't sound like you were this week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, bottom, top, in the middle. You know, we were in the middle. So, you know, the only thing I'm a little bit angry and not feeling right about is that we got beat by Scott Munger and Jay Johnson's team. I'm not sure I can handle that very well.
So your fishing stuff for sale cheap, you're saying?
You know, it's always fun to have, you know, a team, you know, a few teams together that you know real well. And you know, Scott and his crew, they did a pretty nice job. They got seventh place. And and two fish, and they're right in the middle, right in the thick of this thing now. So, you know, maybe there's going to be a little competitive nature to this year, and that should make it a lot more fun. You know, competition among friends is good.
Absolutely. A little good-natured competition is great.
And, Neil, you got some work to do to catch up with the rest now.
Well, doesn't sound like all that much work to do.
No, exactly.
The Peterson boys.
You know, the Peterson boys, they started out first place last year also up at Big Stone. And one thing about the Peterson boys, I talked, and I mean, when it comes to bait fishing, like slow, methodical bait fishing and finding a good, figuring out and dialing in a good, tough bite, they're going to always, almost always be towards the top. But as the summer goes on, those guys would admittedly say, we don't know how to pull crankbaits. So, and, you know, you kind of, they want to jump. There's guys that want to jump in their boat, learn what they do to do little things that it takes to get the live bait going, but they want to jump in your boat to figure out how you pull crankbaits, Neil. So you know, it's interesting. We'll see if they can hang on again this year, or we'll see if they can actually hang on. Last year they didn't.
That's what's great about this league is you got to be versatile. If you can't pull cranks and pull live bait, you're going to end up middle pack.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Neil, what else is happening? Randy had to be at work at 5 a.m. this morning, I think on the ambulance crew. So he's not here. This is one of his favorite shows, is to talk about the Minnesota opener.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that should be a good opener for Minnesota. I mean, the lakes have some water temp to them. It's a fairly good weather report other than, you know, a little wind. But if it's not windy in Minnesota, you're not going to catch fish in those crystal clear waters of those natural lakes. So, you know, it's real. Of course, with Facebook and with, you know, getting these reports from Target Walleye, I mean, it's fun to keep up on what all the pros and all of the fun fishermen and all the families, and you know, it's just a real big weekend for them. And have you ever partaken in that, Neil?
No, I haven't. I've always been busy fishing somewhere else. I never did go to the Minnesota opener. Someday I'd like to go up there.
You know, it's
check
other
out Leech Lake.
Check out Leech. You've never fished Leech Lake, huh?
No, on the opener. Oh yeah, I fished Leech.
Oh, you have. Okay. But the opener, yeah, just to, to go up and I would call it join the party.
Yeah, that's what it would be. It would be a good time.
A lot of times these guys don't even get on the water because it's so cold and snowing and raining and the bite is tough, so they just sit in their cabins all day long. I'm sure they sit and twiddle their thumbs and drink a bunch of beer and
that's the reason why they can't hit the opener. It starts at midnight. Most of them are pie-eyed at midnight.
You know, a couple of our guests, made some comments on Target Walleye. Chip Lear here says, I expect a good post-spawn walleye bite scattered on sandy flats in the 6 to 10 foot water. And, you know, that's pretty standard for this time of the year on Leech Lake. You know, those shiners are kind of starting to come into the shallows. And so the good old shiner minnow and dragging those jigs and pitching those jigs in those sandy little bottom areas seems to really produce. So it's a fun bite this time of the year, you know, because you can get that jig and that minnow out there. A shiner, don't call it a minnow.
It's a shiner in Minnesota. It's a minnow in South Dakota.
We really don't have a shiner run in South Dakota like they do up there in those northern Minnesota lakes. But not
to speak of. A couple lakes there is, but very few.
Neil, you had a couple topics that maybe we still got about 7-8 minutes that you were going to talk about. You know, and we were reminded of it not only from you, but on we heard the steel hit the concrete on Monday night after a league. Someone was pulling their boat out of Compesca and their trailer broke in half.
Oh,
say that's
I feel
not
their pain.
Am I laughing? Sorry about that. Too to the crew that had that happen to him. But,
Oh, yeah,
in the dark, you know, it's after 9 o'clock at night, and you know, and when the steel hits the concrete at a boat ramp, you know, things are not going the right way.
No, you're hoping it's just the trailer. You hope nothing else fell off.
I know. And I only tell the story because everyone should probably check the welds and check the rust on their trailer to make sure, you know, their trailer is going to make it to the lake and back, because there's nothing worse than us or seeing someone in the next to the road, you know, fixing their trailer.
Yep, that happened to me that night. I saw you on the lake when it was so windy.
Yeah.
Went to load my boat, come home, and I noticed my trailer was squatting. One of my torsion axles let go. One of the springs broke.
Hmm.
You know what happens then?
What happens?
Your whole boat rides on the fender well.
Oh, my. I'm sure that puts a little bruise on that boat.
The boat was okay, I guess. The tire shot, the fender well's rubbed through, and I'm still dealing with it right now, which is why I'm not there. I'm going to go weld the torsion axle solid so I can get to the Wolves on the Water tournament.
Oh, you're heading out to the Wolves on the Water?
Yep.
Oh.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man, you just don't give up on this thing, do you? That's going to be a great bite out there.
Should be. It should be. We're hoping to – I've heard all kinds of speculation. I'm expecting to find fish shallow pulling plugs. Maybe live baiting, depending on the water temperature, but you know how it goes.
Let's see, what is the water temperature out there, mid-50s?
I guess it's close to 60.
Ooh, ooh, the plug pulling will begin.
Yeah, it's going to be right there. Them Selmos are going to be on fire, I think.
What color?
I can't tell everything.
Okay, well, we'll let you get by with that.
I think it's going to be a plug bite. You know, them fish are still going to be shallow because they do have a bait run out there, a little bit of one. They should be up in there. Them sandy flats up around Moose Flats, any of that sandy stuff, maybe Prairie Dog Town or right out in front of Bottle Beach could be really, really good.
I heard Bottle Beach. I heard New Everett's area, which isn't that Bottle Beach area is New Everett's?
Yeah, it's a little bit south of there between New Everett's and Nakaska, but yeah, it's just
okay.
Right there.
Yeah, I mean... Does that go out of New Everett's now, or does that go out of up closer? Oh, it does.
Yep.
Jeepers creepers! That the timing couldn't be better this year. I mean, I remember three, four years ago, Chad Schilling had to run all the way up to Pollock to get get the winning weight pulling cranks on what is that flat up there that they
is up at Jones Bay?
Yes, yes.
Yep.
And
we did that last year at the Wolves tournament. We rode all the way to Pollock.
I'm sure that's not going to be needed this year based on the fishing report I saw.
I talked to some guys who said the fishing out of Pollock is way better, but we're looking at a 30-mile-an-hour wind, possibly. That could kill a person.
Yeah, that would just about put an end to my life.
Yeah, 30-mile-an-hour wind up going 50 miles out of the northwest, that could be a really bad plan.
Oof-ta. That's
so
a big...
we'll see. If I get my boat out there and we're all in one piece, I think we're going to do okay.
You're just like every other one of us fishermen, aren't you? There's always going to be issues with these boats, people. The best day of your life is the day you buy it.
That's right. I'm a stickler for maintenance on my boat. I've gotten a year out of it longer than I should have. I maybe neglected my trailer more than I should have, and that's starting to haunt me.
Uh-oh.
It's something. Everybody overlooks them damn trailers, or darn trailers, sorry. we have the, you know, you check the bearings, you check the lights, and you head it down the road. Well, a guy should really be a little bit crawling underneath and wants to take a look, see what's going on.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't hurt. Do you have to pack the bearings in that trailer? Or is that
That's a vault, yeah.
That's self-contained?
Yeah, it's one of them Vortex vaults or whatever there.
Oh, yeah, that's turning things a little bit easier, but still with the guys with the little 16-foot lun, still got to pack those bearings every spring.
Yep.
Anything else, Neil? You know,
I don't know that we have to get onto the controversial side of it, but they did close and put a court injunction on. Don't shoot the messenger here, but I believe it's called Dewar's Slough?
Dewar's and Jesse.
And Jesse's. I don't know if that includes Lily Lake. I know there's four lakes there that are kind of combined. So the private land under two of them is out of bounds right now. And probably will be.
I sure don't want to start a controversy, but if anybody can tell me the reason for that one being singled out of all the lakes in South Dakota, I'd love to hear it.
Well, there's already four lakes that are there that have injunctions on them, so it's already yeah. a deal in other lakes also, and
what county are they all in?
They're in the same county.
Yeah, why is that different? I'm not that I'm arguing with them. I just love to know because I don't know why that would be, why they're different than any other lakes in the state.
Randy, you...
It's just Dade County. I don't know why. It's just the farmers in Dade County just have a big hassle with the people going over their property line.
Yeah, landowners.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can sure understand that, but if that's going to be the law of the land, it should be the law of the land, or it should be taken away. It shouldn't be county by county.
Well, I have a hunch that the political side of other counties could start leaning that way also, and it comes down to township boards. It comes down to, I mean, I think really people totally underestimate the power of local government. I mean, they see this big national government and they realize how powerful Washington is and the Supreme Court and all those things that come with that. But you know what, really? You know, really one of the most powerful forms of government is our local government, these township boards and these county commission boards. And Cottington County has been approached. Those commissioners have been approached. And I mean, there's too many people that have city influence that are probably going to affect that politically. Well,
probably.
We're talking rural America here, and we're talking private property rights. So you start talking private property, and Neil, if your relatives and my relatives bought this land fair and square, or they came in and they settled that land and they were given that land to survive on and start their lives here in the Dakotas, flying in and from Europe, crossing the ocean, we might have a little bit more of an understanding on how that private property right is probably really, really important. I mean,
it absolutely is, and I'm not saying anything about the private property rights. I just would like to see a standard so people know what's going on. I mean, there's other farmers around the state that have been impacted where they have the land around these lakes. What makes these four lakes so special?
Well, essentially, they won't be special if politicians on the state level want to get involved. But there's no one on either end of this. There's such a drastic group on the sportsman end of it, and a drastic group on the landowner private property end. They don't want to meet in the middle at all. They don't want, neither side wants to give, so okay, we'll just sit here and fight about it for a while then.
It's going to take some giving. Both sides are going to have to give in a little bit. It's just the way things operate. I mean, stubborn people don't win much, so they just have to get together and figure something out.
Stubborn people win when they're stubborn.
Stubborn people, either that or they just make everybody else's lives miserable.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. There won't be an issue when we go through 5 years of drought. So, I mean,
that's true.
That'll put an end to it. When they're farming potatoes in that thing, we're surviving. We haven't seen a drought for a good drought since the late 1976-77, and that really wasn't a real drought compared to what they had back in Grandpa and Grandma's day.
We're in for one.
I don't know. I'm not a weatherman, but we're going to have one. Will we have it in our lifetime? But these lakes are down 4 to 5 feet right now, 3 feet at least and heading towards 4 to 5 feet. So, you know, yep. It's only a matter of time. Hey, what happened to the time?
Just fly.
It's time to go. I got to go fix the boat.
You get that welding done, Neil. You get that boat rolling, that trailer rolling. You enjoy the weekend, and everyone out there, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy fishing. Take care. For another week of On the Water, In the Air, headed over to the board man, Randy Grimes.